Good morning. It's nice to welcome you here for our third session, viewing the chapter of prayer from the standpoint of the law of interdependence in the Word, and hearing its echoes simultaneously from the Christ, Christianity, and Science columns as well. Today, as we view the third subject in prayer, the subject of soul, the subject that Max has epitomized as the prayer of sinlessness, you have papers before you with the greater portion of the text that I'll do today, and you have options on how you wish to become involved in this particular session. Some of you may opt to read the papers along with what I'm saying and integrate the material that happens spontaneously that's not included with the materials that I've given you. Others will feel the call just to come from a standpoint of spirit and knowing that they have the materials to take home and study later, just feel to move with spirit into the material and listen for the symbols that will be given. Either method is wonderful. They just both come out with a bit different feeling at the end. But either way, I would like all of you to notice that the last page of the material has a chart involved. And if you might wish to put the chart in a position that you could glance at it from time to time, you may feel that the presentation will be easier to identify with. I have simply attempted here in this little chart to structure some of the concepts and terms that have elucidated themselves in the subject of soul in order to make it easier for everyone to follow, and in order for you to be able to conceptualize with me, while I use terms that are not ordinarily used in the study of the subject of Christian Science. These terms come from the world of science with a small s, but I think will aid in helping us to see what is really going on behind the scenes from the standpoint of being and the standpoint of the soul of being. So you may just take a glance at it from time to time as I speak about frequencies and oscillations and things that don't sound like Christian Science material. Our third subject begins, as I said, with the prayer of sinlessness. It is the ability to rebuke all within us that is out of line with the character of the divine and to reform in accordance with its image and likeness. So the question arises, by what means can I reform? And the first answer, according to the chapter of prayer in its third section, is through recognizing that there really isn't a discount in the law of justice, nor should we wish there to be. if we understand what that really means. And so I have to ask myself a question that maybe none of you have thought of in this particular place value. Am I in touch with my instincts, with my instinctive responses? When I respond, are the impulses that guide and motivate me animal, psychic, or spiritual? That may sound like a very new way to approach this place value, but it's a question that really has to be addressed, because each of us has a deep instinct within us that enables us to tune in. But on what level are we tuning in? Are we tuning in on a very animal, physical response level, such as the bird that always knows to fly south in the winter, or the fish that knows to spawn upstream, to go upstream to spawn? Am I operating on that kind of an instinct, survival type level? Or have I evolved to the point that I'm coming from a higher response level, but I would say the response level of the psyche, where I'm tuning in to mental tones that appear to be in my individual being, in the collective being, in the universal being? Am I responding in that way to signals, whether I realize it or not? Or have I really been able to find my way to a spiritual response? Do I know upon which level I'm responding? Do I even care? Is it a subject that I've addressed? Do I see the value of responding spiritually rather than psychically or animalistically? And if I do, if I really see the value of doing it, can I transit from those animal responses, those moral, mental, psychic responses, to response modes that are more synchronous with those of the divine, to those spiritual response modes? Can I sense the powerful draw of soul as it moves me into line with its ideational character? Or will I, without realizing it, will I inadvertently miss that signal that's coming from soul? Will I transgress this particular law and incur the penalty of so doing? It's a really interesting question that I have to ask myself. You see, there's a law in soul that is really enabling the image of the divine to come forth, therefore the image of my divinity to come forth. If I'm responding correctly, if I'm hearing that signal from soul and I'm responding to that law, then just that ideational character will come forth within me. But if I'm inadvertently responding on a lower level, then the full image will not come forth, and maybe even a counterfeit image will come forth. So therefore, I really hope that I don't misread that signal. I want to be sensitive to the signal of soul. I don't want to be insensitive to it, or to sense corporeally or psychically, but to sense spiritually, to sense that call of soul and respond accordingly. Just be in that place. I really pray to be able to do this, for who I have here would wish to fall heir to the law of penalty? how much better to be blessed by the law of soul, to let it usher me in. I have here to the holy tabernacle, into the sacred temple of absolute stillness, where it, soul, or the law of soul, can delineate the image of my being, and thereby the level of my instinctive response. If we see where it's coming from, if we see what that law of soul is really bringing forth, we just can't help but want with all of our hearts to be in that place value, to listen from that point of view, from that level, from that high sense of instinct. And the only way to do that is to move into that tabernacle, or at least to want to move in to that place within our own being that is absolutely still. So I have here, let the law of soul prevail. Let it point the way. Let it guide me to that inner sanctum of my being, to that quiet place within that is free from the intrusion of the senses, free from the intrusion of the psyche. And let it there unveil the image of my being, of my own true selfhood. Let it unveil the incorporeality of my identity, and really the ideational nature of my body. I can't look up toward that. I can't seek that. I can't find that if I look through animal instinct or psychic instinct. Only if I'm quiet enough, if I'm tuned in to the law of soul, will it move me to that place where my ideational being will come forth. And I know that it's doing that. And I know that I can embark on this blessed journey, a journey that we've all heard about for as long as we can remember, a journey from sense to soul, that I can be ushered into that sacred sanctuary of my being, and that no mental or emotional agitation can appear to obscure my way, can appear to prevent me from moving in to that clear place, from embarking on that journey. It's like I'm Moses in Egypt calling everyone to embark on the journey to the promised land. But the promised land is not outside of ourselves. That promised land is within, so it's a call to journey within on a very, very, very deep level, a journey to find that place of stillness where I can locate the ideational image of my own character, of my own being, of my own identity. And really, the law, as you can see, is a just law. And if I should disregard it or misread the signs along the way, it is so magnificent that it will represent the way in new signs, in new symbols. I may not like them, I might want to run from them, but it's so much there, it will just continually insist that I follow. It will insist that I make that journey to the promised land of my own identity. And it will guarantee that I respond only to those transmissions that are being sent from the soul of being. And it won't allow me to mistake the origin of my identity or limit it to the apparent reproductive capability of the physical body. Because soul, really, whether I recognize it or not, whether I'm aware of it or not, soul is the basis of my selfhood. It alone really has the capability of defining that of which I'm made. It defines my characteristics, and it is really ever insisting that they be identical with its own, that they be just like that of itself, the divine soul of being. It controls the transmissions that produce my identity. And it really does keep me centered so that I can receive them. It determines the ideational image of my being. And really, if I think about it, why should I wish to conceive of myself as less? Why should I wish to not obey that law? Why should I wish not to allow it to bring me to the place where I really am, that place where the soul of being is just bringing forth within its own being that which I am, that place where it is imaging, where it is conceptualizing through the ideas of its own being that which I am, the image of my being? Why should I want to be anything less than that? If I really stop and consider it, I won't want to be anything less than that. I won't willingly want to break that law. I won't shirk seeing that there is a promised land, that that promised land is not outside of me, it's within me. And having then the vision, foresight to turn within and to embark on that journey from sense to soul. Which brings us then to the second step of the journey, which is epitomized through the chapter of prayer as through the strengthening of pure, sinless affections. That just brings me to a whole series of different questions. And you can hear soul is spirit in here, because you can see, you can just hear spirit forming these questions in soul. Can I detach from self, from the little I, from ego? Can't you just hear, any of you who have been really familiar with law or blending and know that soul is the spirit of its own soul, can just feel as that echoes down to the human response level, it forcing me to detach from self, detach from the little I, detach from any selfhood that is apart from the divine self. So I have to, at this place of value, ask myself those questions. Can I detach from self, from the little I, from ego? Can I withdraw my focus from my own or another's physical or mental portrait? Do you realize how tricky that is, how hard it is not to be mesmerized by my own visage physically or mentally, by another's visage physically or mentally, by the pictures that we hold within us? Can I, do I have the ability within to withdraw my focus from those physical and mental portraits? Am I willing to let go of these limited fixations and focus instead on the unlimited selfhood of the divine? If I can do that, I will raise my instinctive response level. That which we were talking about in the first instance, How am I responding, right? But you say, well, I don't know, but I hope it's in spirit. I hope I'm in accord with the law. But this, it begins to give you a method of how you can get to that place of stillness and respond from that higher place value by detaching from the false symbols, detaching from the mental and physical visages of a self that is apart from the divine self. Can I turn my attention and affection inward toward this divine soul? Be open to its transmissions and allow them to identify the true nature and character of my being. Can I sense only those vibrations, pick up only those high frequencies? Or will I succumb to temptation, respond to the lower frequencies, attaching to their lesser symbols? I know those are terms that we're not used to having, but they were the only way that I could describe what I felt and what I saw, because I could feel there, soul as spirit. I could feel it wanting to focus in on its own divine image, it wanting to express that image, it, in essence, in a timeless way, sending out a sending out frequencies within its own being that enable the image to appear. It's like it sends a transmission, and when all those transmissions get to their point, they objectify and they give an image. So it's a slow motion view of what's going on in being. There's no time sense in being. There are no transmissions per se in being. But you can feel that somewhere in there, soul, in order to objectify, has to bring that object forth. So therefore, I don't want to attach to those lower frequencies. That would just be, it isn't that they're outside of the divine, it's that they're not as full as the frequencies of the divine. So therefore I'd only be seeing a partial picture, a distorted picture, not a true symbol of what I really am. So therefore I really pray to detach. I hope I can detach. I want to let go of everything that would bind me. I don't want to be imprisoned by my own corporeal sensing, by my own psyche, but I want to allow myself to move into those higher response modes where deviations from those transmissions won't occur. And I'm safe then from all the distortions, from the false symbols, from limited senses of myself. I could just see that was the key. That if I could let go of self, let go of the little I, let go of my fixations on mental and physical images, and move in and just focus on the divine images, get real quiet and just listen to what soul is telling me, listen to those transmissions from soul, that it would bring me to that place of spiritual sense where I could sense that which I really am. So I have here, let that rule of soul, let the transmissions of soul define and trace the pathway of my unfoldment, and let it delineate the translation of the symbols along the way. Can you just feel? It's like if I'm in that place and I'm feeling soul, I'm feeling its transmissions, I'm hooked through spiritual sense into what it is saying that I am, then it has to trickle down, it has to filter down through every level of experience. And as it does that, it's going to translate the symbols that I've related to and show me that they're much more than I think they are, that they're much greater than I think they are, that they're much fuller than I think they are, that when I'm looking at myself as a body, when I'm looking at myself as a conglomerate of mental concepts and images, that I'm ever so much more than that. That my selfhood has spirituality. So, it's worth detaching from self. In this manner, let soul bring forth the reality of being's true symbols, and let them permeate my being until I can clearly feel them, sense them, understand them as the symbols of my real identity. You can just feel soul here flooding you with its characteristics. And the wonderful thing of just letting those characteristics permeate my being until it transforms the false sense of character that I may be holding within me, that I may be focused upon. May that soul attune me to the atmosphere, the aura of those clear symbols, to their transmissions, and spare me what amounts to the lethargic oscillations of grosser symbols, the static broadcasts of the physical and mental realms. And that little chart that I talked about in the beginning will help that enormously, because you can see down at the base of the chart, there's a kind of wide angle there, where if you're moving from pole to pole to pole, there's these very wide oscillations. So therefore, if the transmissions that I'm receiving seem to be undergoing all of that kind of dense frequency, if I seem to be going through the muck to be able to hear it, I won't see what's really there as clearly. I won't feel my identity as clearly. So therefore, I really want to know that I'm tuned in to that divine atmosphere where it can spare me going through that pull from pole to pole, going through really a kind of valley of despair there, trying to sense the spirituality of my own identity. I know that it can, and that it will, and that it will not be possible for me to be lured off the path by a false symbol, a low-frequency signal, a physical sensation or mental suggestion. I know that the soul of being is leading me into its kingdom, into the promised land of my identity. And I know that there I will find my true identity, my real identity, intact, secure, immaterial, its body chemistry having been altered through translation.